Well, the latest estimates are that we're going to have local elections here in South Africa in November next year. That's a year away, a long time in some people's minds, but in politics, whew, that is not very long to pull in the votes, get people to start understanding that every vote counts. We'll be asking that question many times as we go forward. But today we're talking to the DA's candidate for mayor in eThekwini, Durban. And he's a man from the city, and he's a man who has got quite a lot of confidence in being able to finally break the ANC's stranglehold on one of the most beautiful cities in the country and perhaps start turning it around. Big jobs that the DA is facing in Johannesburg with Helen Zille as the candidate, and in eThekwini, where Hanif Hussen, who is a long-time politician, he's given up parliament to come and fight this fight, and we'll find out from him why.
This is where the unthinkable happened. They just came here and took his car.
No. I sold it to them. What's this?
It's crime scene tape. Did they pay you at least?
Within 15 minutes, money was in my account.
Were you happy with the number they brought you?
I got almost the same price as what I paid for the car. Everything was easy, everything was painless.
Well, there you have it, South Africa. With We Buy Cars, you won't come short. How tall are you really?
1.93.
We Buy Cars, the easiest way to sell your car by far.
It's a warm welcome to Hanif Hussen, the DA's mayoral candidate for eThekwini. Hanif, we're going to get into your background, why you believe you can actually win this, why you are moving away from parliament, which I would have thought would be kind of a cushy job in a way, getting ready for a cabinet position maybe. And now you're going into the fray of things in your hometown. Why? What's motivating you?
Yeah, absolutely. You're quite right, Alec. But, you know, when you live in a city that you love for all your life, and when you see how things are getting bad to worse over a period of time, at some point you ask yourself, do I have an opportunity? Or do I have the power to be able to change it? And I got tired of watching other people destroy our future in the city. I think Durban, quite honestly, it's the most beautiful city in South Africa. It has just so much of potential. And I've been here all my life. I've been a councillor here for so many years. And I've seen, especially over the recent past, how things are just simply falling apart. And I think the opportunity is now, because the mood in the country is changing. People are starting to become so frustrated with our current government and their performance. And so who better than myself, who had had an opportunity in the city for so many years. I served here as a councillor. I know where the bodies are buried, if I can put it to you that way, and I know what's it going to take to turn the situation around.
But talking about the where the bodies are buried, that's the big concern for we the public, because the ANC has been in power for so long in eThekwini. It's so corrupt. You don't have to make any guesses on that. I'm from KZN. I know a lot of people who live in your city, and they, on any kind of private discussion that you have, they give you horror stories. And these are people right across the social spectrum. The ANC is not going to give its position willingly. And on the other hand, you've got the MK factor, which is coming in, which itself is a party that's got lots of question marks, as we know from the Zondo Commission. So how are you going to get in there to make a difference and find out where those bodies are buried?
Well, I tell you, Alex, there's something amazing going on in our country at the moment, and more especially in Durban. Let's just go to the last election that we held. Here in eThekwini, the ANC only was able to achieve about 14% in that national local government elections. So they're definitely on their way out. And you're quite right about the MK, but I think that there is also an opportunity for us, even amongst MK supporters, to actually attract a percentage of those people to us. And let me tell you where the evidence lies. You know, recently we had a by-election here in Ward 64, which is largely 57% of the voting population there were Black South Africans. A tough by-election for us to win, because it was the MK, EFF, ourselves. And so many people came forward to us saying, we're actually going to get behind the DA because we understand, although we still belong to the MK party, I have a membership with them. I have a membership with the ANC or the EFF. But we realize that actually wherever the DA has been given an opportunity, you guys actually get the job done. So I think that more and more South Africans are starting to realize that if they want a better city and a better government, that they're going to have to change the direction and change their voting patterns. And this is the message that I've been talking to South Africans all over in Durban, wherever I reach out to them, potential MK voters, to say, we're not asking you to join the Democratic Alliance. What we're asking you is to help us to bring change in the city. And you can put that X next to experts who are the experts in local government, and that's who we have become all over South Africa. A good example, Alec, is the Ungeni municipality. You will know the Howick area, quite a famous Midlands town. And 5 years ago, when we won that municipality, it was completely bankrupt and completely dysfunctional. And our good friend Chris Poppers, who took over there with the support of all the expertise from the Democratic Alliance at all levels, we're able to turn that municipality around. And today, it's the number one performing municipality in KZN. And this is the message that I've been taking out to people all over Durban. People who we think might not vote for the DA, but putting that evidence before them to say, give us a chance for 5 years and we'll show you what we'll be able to do in this city by just turning things around and not stealing the money, putting it to work where it's supposed to work, build the infrastructure. We have a problem at the moment here in Durban where about 60% of the water the municipality purchases actually goes into the ground, is what they call non-revenue water. I mean, can you believe that? 60% of the water. And somebody has to pay for that. So the residents are paying almost double for what they should be. That amounts to about 3 billion rand every year that's actually getting wasted that could be used for much better use and build the communities, get the infrastructure going. So I'm very hopeful and confident. And with the response that we've been receiving so far since we launched, so many new voters had come forward to us saying, we're actually going to back you guys in this election. And I think we're going to see this kind of trend in a number of cities across across the country, because people have just had enough of their normal political alliances and loyalties. And then they've been left down for 30 years. Look at the condition that we find ourselves in here in Durban.
You know, something, again, looking at the detail that really surprised me was the way that the ANC is not seeing the future, or the ANC in Durban is not seeing the future. We do know, as you mentioned earlier, that they collapsed in the votes in the 2024 election, but their partner in government in Durban, or in eThekwini, because it's bigger than Durban, isn't it? It's kind of the greater area. Their partner completely collapsed to 1/5 of where they had before. That's the EFF. So clearly the EFF are their history in KZN. The ANC is just about history in KZN. You'd think that the people there would be, certainly the ANC, would kind of at least try and find a way of staying in future. Because if the ANC and the DA got together, DA being the second biggest party in the previous local election, they would at least have some future. But the way that it's looking now is that might not happen. Why has that not occurred at a local level when the ANC has worked with the DA very successfully in the government of national unity at a national level?
I think it has everything to do with the public purse, Alec, because the ANC here in eThekwini, I mean, corruption has become so institutionalized. They themselves cannot even control what's going on in the city. So the people in the decision-making seat actually are looking after their own personal pockets and their own interests. I mean, my greatest fear is that in the next year, before the ANC moves out of government, the amount of looting that's going to take place is just frightening. I mean, people know that they're no longer going to be in government. So they're not focusing on building a future for their party or trying to stay in government. Their focus has now shifted on, you know, how much can I eat before I leave this place? And that has to put us as the DA on high alert, probing every single tender and contract, and to make sure that we try and save the public purse as much as we can. Because when we take over government, we don't want to have to sit with all of those problems. So we're trying our very best also here in eThekwini with our team of councillors there on Exco to make sure that we close that tap on these crooks. But of course, a lot of it is just going to slip through the cracks because we're dealing with professional crooks here in eThekwini. So I think that the ANC has essentially given up hope. And that's why we're trying to offer voters the hope here that what you don't want, actually, is to replace our current government with a worse government. In 2016, as you rightfully said, I stood here as mayor for Ethekwini. It was Andile Gumede who got elected at the time. This was about 10 years ago. She happens to be in court at the moment for 320 million rand tender fraud and corruption scandal. I'm still here trying to bring change to the city. So if voters had given us that opportunity 10 years ago, we would have saved so much. We would have saved so much of money that has been wasted and stolen, literally. And we'll be able to put that money into good use. We would have probably not had the situation that we have at the moment where our beaches are completely full of sewer because our sewer plants have collapsed and there's no maintenance being done there. And that, you know, has a massive impact on tourism and job creation and just the state of the economy here in the city as well. So I've been out there talking to people and engaging them as much as we can to say, you've had an opportunity before and see where that has brought us. Let's rather put the interest of the city and all our shared interest this time around ahead of anything else, regardless of what we look like, regardless of what we speak like, or where we come from, or how we pray. Local government is not just about politics. It's about service delivery. It's about getting the job done so that we can all benefit out of it. And we don't have the attitude that says your side of the boat is leaking, because we're in this mess together. And we're all going to have to get ourselves out of this mess together. And that's the message that I plan to take over the next 12 months to every single corner of the city, because I do think there's an appetite in Ethekwini by people who have said, we've now had enough. We've been promised a better life for so long, but all we got was better lies. And it's time that we're going to have to start actually shifting the way we think and start supporting people who can get the job done. And that's definitely my message. But we need all the help and support we can get, because it is possible. I'm convinced it's possible. But we're going to have to put in the hard yards and get to every single corner of the city and convince as many people as possible.
It's very easy for me to articulate your successes. You've been the Shadow Minister of Home Affairs. You were in Parliament for 17 years. But your critics aren't going to be interested in that. They're going to be saying, and hang on, this guy was in the National Party in his early stages. Just take us through that and your, if you like, metamorphosis from being a critic of, I suppose you could say, transformation, because the National Party weren't exactly transformers, to somebody now who's driving a different agenda entirely.
No, completely understand that. And I'm proud that I contributed to the democracy that we have today, Alec. Many people forget that in 1994, there were almost 20 political parties on that ballot paper, not just the ANC. People from all walks of life and all corners of South Africa came together to build this democracy that we have. The community I come from, the large majority of them, also wanted change. None of us, regardless of what we look like at that stage, actually wanted our country to be destroyed. And so we all came together from every single political party, all corners of the country, all different races and language groups. And we set South Africa collectively, not the ANC. We did it collectively to get South Africa into that glorious rainbow nation that we dreamed about. And so I think that our diversity and where I come from actually is a strength, not a weakness. Because I have the history of where we come from in a country and how and what we dreamed about for so many years. And that dream we have not realized to today. In 1994, so many South Africans had this dream that our country is one day going to be a beautiful place where all of us are going to have shared opportunities. But that's not happening. It hasn't happened. And 30 years of this government's rule has brought us to where we are today. And so my message to South Africans and the people here in the city is to say, we cannot fix what happened yesterday. But what we can do is to build a better tomorrow. And those of us who want to focus on what happened yesterday and 30 years ago, they can go on doing so. And of course, my critics will deal with that. But I tell you what, when we get into government, we're going to govern for our critics too. Because regardless of whether you like us or not, we're going to put the interests of the city first. We're going to make sure that we put every single rand to work, get value for money, run a city on business principles, because that's how it should be done. For far too long, our governments have dealt with, fought around ideologies and race and what we look like and what we speak like. And look where that has brought us over 30 years. And so I'm committed to making sure that we change the direction of this ship. And the short time that I have, that I want to be able to make a contribution that can actually make a better city for all our children, for all our families. I've had to send my child overseas to go and study because there aren't any opportunities here. And thousands of families have to do that. I mean, how many families have ever left the city already to go and work in Gauteng and the Western Cape and all over? Why can't we achieve exactly that here in the city? We have the most beautiful coastline in the whole country, the warmest ocean. I mean, the best weather you can find anywhere else in the city, in the country, is here in Durban. And there was a time, Alec, when our streets along the beachfront was just packed with tourists from all over the world, actually. And today you don't find any of them. And the impact that that has had on job creation and the economy has been completely devastated. And there used to be small businesses that were running tour companies, taking people into the townships, earning a little bit of money and putting food on their tables for their families. Our hotels used to be packed. And things are just changed drastically. And nobody's going to come and invest in Durban and build new hotels and put up new construction sites if there isn't a demand for it. But if we can change that situation around and we can create that demand, I'm convinced that people from all over the world will want to actually invest here in this city and make it a better place so that the poorest of the communities can actually have an opportunity to earn something. And once they're able to earn something, they can actually contribute to our revenue base in the city, because that's exactly what we need. Unfortunately, what we have at the moment is not everybody is contributing to the revenue of the city. And that's because they don't have the means to do so. And so if you want to just apply basic principles, if you want to apply just basic principles and you want to increase your revenue base, the best place to invest is in the poor communities, create opportunities for them, and they will actually be able to contribute to the revenue, right? And that's just a very basic logical business principle.
It's an extraordinary story. Again, having grown up in KZN, visiting Durban as a young man and a few times as a kid, I've seen the Golden Mile being a true Golden Mile. You have the best weather in winter in the world in Durban. You can't beat it. And there's so many other things that go on there, including, of course, the sharks. But when we now talk about those who are benefiting, those who are eating, those who have a massive, massive interest, vested interest in keeping things as it is so they can keep eating, how do you address that? How do you get members of the public to kind of get it? That the vote is the most powerful thing that they have in their possession and that they need to use it.
Alec, I think a lot of it comes down to education. Lots of the information that you and I have, people who actually take an active interest in knowing what's going on in our governments, the large majority of people actually are just busy with their lives and they don't know actually what's going on. And one of the things that we plan to do in this campaign is to run a mass educational drive in township communities across the city, to make them understand why we got here. I mean, they know that there's no water in the taps. I mean, communities here in Durban go without water sometimes for weeks on end. I mean, there was a town on the further north of Durban called Tongaat. They went without water for more than a year and a half almost, you know. But it's the normal problem here in that the municipality failed to invest in the infrastructure to take care of the water pipes underground. And so we have burst pipes all over the city and it's collapsing. 60% of the water, as I told you, is leaking into the ground. What's going to happen when we get to 90%? And you know, Alec, before I went into an interview the other day, one of the journalists reminded me and he said, I was sitting on the executive committee some many years ago when you actually threw a hissy fit because we had 10% of water loss. And that was many years ago, over 20 years ago. And so it's deteriorated from then right down now to 60% of the water that's just getting wasted completely. But there's a financial impact of that. You know, it's 3 billion rand essentially that's being wasted every single year. That's, forget about just the corruption side. It's the mismanagement of the funds and not putting it to good use. But then, of course, you know, the Auditor General also over the last 4 years, I mean, she pointed out that 4 years ago, we had about 700 million rand worth of irregular expenditure. that's now grown to 4 billion rand last year. So
people are eating. People are eating. And you know all about that. Yeah. And if you to tell us about the time you spent in Parliament on the Parliamentary Standing Committee on the Auditor General, what exactly were you exposed to there?
Well, I had two great opportunities in Parliament, being in the Auditor General's portfolio as well as COCTA. So I was able to make that linkage. And in the Auditor General's, during the period that I was there, we were able to actually conduct oversight and look into exactly what's going on in municipalities all across South Africa. And the problems are common. Corruption, mismanagement, and not using the money for what its intended purposes. A lot of these municipalities are sponsoring soccer clubs and picnics and fashion shows and all sorts of things, handing out cash to colleagues and friends and creating opportunities and tenders and, for networks. And it's the evidence is there glaringly all over the country. The Auditor General is pointing out all of these municipalities where money is just being wasted. But the Auditor General also points out, quite honestly, so that DA-run municipalities are always performing better. The corruption, there's no corruption in these municipalities, and the management of the finances are much better. And then, of course, in COCTA, it was the same thing. I served there on the COCTA portfolio, and we saw exactly the same thing. So it's a problem across the entire South Africa, and we can't stop fighting to get it right, because there's just too much to lose. And we'll continue fighting. And that's why here in Durban, I've raised my hand to say, I want to do this job and fix this place.
Now, you know what happened in Chris Pappas' municipality, Mgeni. On the upside, you explained, and we have family in Pietermaritzburg, and every time I visit, I'm astonished by that road between Hilton and Maritzburg, because that's where I go to see them. While you're on the Hilton side, the road is beautiful. And then the minute you hit welcome to Pietermaritzburg, you get potholed city. And it's so stark, the difference between the one municipality to the other. However, we also know there was a political murder within Chris's team. And we even in KZN have a political murder task team, which I'd like to get your view on in a moment. But how much of an issue does that play in your mind, given that you are potentially the guy who's going to stop a lot of people eating?
Yeah, it's something that's been on my mind not from yesterday, but for the last 30 years, quite honestly. And I survived so long, and I hope I will survive even longer to be able to fix the mess. But I think, of course, that is an area of concern, because people will take you out when you know they're closing the taps on corruption. But we have to be smart at it. The one thing I'm absolutely committed to is, if you have stolen the people's money, you're going to go to jail. There's no question about that. And we'll find ways in which we can do that. I cannot turn a blind eye knowingly that people have stolen money from the poor and just simply overlook it. And there's a law in our land, and we must make sure that the law works. So we'll get the opportunity to deal with that. But one thing I know for sure is that when we occupy office, the taps on corruption is going to close, and we're going to redirect that money. It's going to require quite a bit of work to get the right people in the right places so that we could turn the ship around.
Yeah, you've been a drum banger, if you like, anti-corruption, and trying to also educate people on the impact that has. But right now, you have a head of SAPS, or head of police in KwaZulu-Natal, who's been, stripping the Band-Aid off a lot of stuff that's been hidden, but is also being alleged to have been himself part of the cabal. So what is your take? You know the province. You know the city. You must know General Mkhwanazi and the other people around there. You must know what people are saying about the Oyster Box Hotel being a place where the police are now living it up on slush funds, etc. Give us an insider's take on what is actually going on there, and what we confused South Africans should be believing about the general's disclosures.
I think the general's disclosure just simply represents what's been going on in our country for a long time. It's not just happened since yesterday. It's been happening for a long time. And so many of our government departments are falling apart because of corruption and mismanagement. Now our health services are falling apart. Our educational services are falling apart. So it's police services. And every single government department that's falling apart had created an opportunity for private sector to get involved and provide private health care and private security services and all of those things. So what's happening at the moment, I think, is actually a representation of what's been happening for the last 30 years. And it's a good thing that it's happening because people need to know, because that's how they get educated. But you know what worries me further is where to from here and what's going to happen after this? Because how do we have confidence that all of those individuals who are pointing fingers at each other at the national level, national commissioner and his deputies and provincial commissioner, do we have any confidence that they're still going to be able to work with each other after this? And is our country going to be in safe hands? So it's a mess. It's an absolute mess. But it's a mess that represents what's happening even at a local government level, at senior management level, at political level. These fights have been happening there too. It's not just in SAPS. People have been fighting over resources, our resources, the money that's supposed to be used to build a better country. So, yeah, it's absolutely shocking what's going on there. But it, to me, it's not entirely shocking because we've been seeing some of these things happen even at local government in municipalities and just the corruption and the mismanagement. Our country's falling apart, Alec. But I have hope and I know that South Africans are a resilient bunch of people. They're smart enough to know how we can actually save this country. And that's the message that we're taking out to every single corner of my city, wherever I'm going in this campaign. And of course, the DA mayors and candidates and councillors and activists all over the country are using exactly the same message. Only the DA can rescue the country. And we're going to have to do whatever it takes to rescue this beautiful country of ours and this beautiful city that I want to lead. And I'm confident we'll be able to do it.
Getting back to General Mkhwanazi, he has accused one of your DA councillors, one of your DA leading lights in KwaZulu-Natal, Diane Kola Barnard, of being on the wrong side. What's happening here? Because again, I'm saying we the public, we the people are, well, many of us anyway, are terribly confused. Lots of people say we're backing General Mkhwanazi. Everything that he says is great. Let him take power, almost like give him a military coup. Let him run the country. Because they're that frustrated and that desperate. But what are we to make of these kind of disclosures when you're in a political party where one of your esteemed colleagues is now being accused of being on the dark side?
Yeah, look, I completely understand it. But when you sit in an environment where people, as you said, are so frustrated and desperate, any allegation you throw out there in the public domain becomes believable in this day and age because people are just frustrated, you see. So the one thing I can assure you is that in the DA, we take these things seriously and it will be investigated. And there isn't any person in the DA who gets found for wrongdoing, who continues in their job or get promoted like they find in the ANC. So I know that there are these allegations and there will be those opportunities for it to be tested and the evidence must be put on the table. And it would be unfair for me to say that either is right or wrong because I don't have all of the evidence and the information in front of me. What you know is what I know. But what I can tell you is that the one thing about the Democratic Alliance, the culture that we have, our institutional culture, is we don't take nonsense when it comes to wrongdoing or corruption or contributing towards destroying our country. There is a culture here in the DA that many people have left, have been fired, have been removed. And so I'm confident that the leadership of our party will look at this very seriously at every stage, and they will be fair about it and look at what evidence exists. Mkhwanazi hasn't, put all of the evidence on the table, and at some point that will be taken care of. My focus, obviously, is to get our city right, and that's where my mind is focused on at the moment.
Yeah, we keep reminding our tribe that there's two sides to every story, and we're hearing the one side. We've got to wait for the whole Matlanga Commission submissions to have been given before we can pass any judgment. And right now, it's terribly confusing, as it always would be if you only hearing an affidavit from one side of any court trial. But I suppose more importantly to end off with here is, how are you going to win? What's your plan? Are you going to get the DA voters themselves to realize that in this proportional representation system, even if you're sitting in a safe ward, as it were, perhaps Durban North or somewhere, or Klang or somewhere like that, for the DA, you've still got to get out there, because if you don't vote, then you're actually losing in the greater scheme of things, because you've got those two votes. I suppose, so you've got to work with the DA people, but how are you going to win it? Because I would assume that your target has to be 50% plus one extra vote.
Yes, absolutely. We're not entering this race to come second, Alec. We want to get beyond over the line, and we do believe it's possible, but it's going to take a lot of hard work. We need lots of resources to be able to reach out to every single person, reach out to every single DA supporter and more, and also attract new voters to vote for the DA with the message, as I said, is that we all have to get together to build the city and leave behind our historical political allegiances. And it is working, because we were able to reach out to so many people who have never voted for the DA before. But we're going to need the help. And that's why I've launched a platform where we call on South Africans to actually help us to get involved. Because every little bit of help that we can get is going to help us to turn the situation around. We cannot do this on our own. I can't do it on my own. And we do have a plan. That plan means to reach every single voter here in the city, educate them about the state of our city, and give them the hope that they're looking for, is how we can actually change things around.
But practically speaking, you're talking about registration. You got to register before May next year.
Yes, absolutely.
So you got to get on your bicycle now and say to people, if you've never voted, or if you've forgotten, or if you've changed address or whatever, get out there and now register. How are you practically going to do that? Do you guys run telephone surveys? Do you go and go on the knock on doors, kiss babies?
We do all of the above except kissing babies. So we have some. Fortunately, the IEC has an online registration system now. That's helped us drastically, because we can reach more people. So we run campaigns online as well as face to face. You'll see the DA people at shopping centers and shopping malls all over the city, on street corners, and where we're educating people to get registered and helping them to get registered. We want to invest a lot of money into communication online, sending that link out to people to say, this is how you can actually register. That takes a lot of money for us to do that, a lot of effort. And so we're going to be investing definitely an enormous amount of resources into voter registration and voter education, because there's no point in registering everybody, but if they don't vote for the DA. So we have to also educate them. And we have a number of series of events that are planned in every single ward throughout the city, knocking on doors, as you said, talking to people individually. But we're going to get smarter this time around also, and use online tools and experts in the field to help us to communicate and educate. And so we've been calling on people to give us whatever assistance they can. And I'm grateful. So many people and so many businesses have come forward to say, we want to help you, because we can see that your party is committed. You have the track record to deliver. And what is it that can we do from our side to actually make a contribution and help you? And that's been helpful. And we'll keep doing that over the next 12 years, because every little bit that, support that we can get is going to help us to achieve that outcome that we want.
And if I know that both of us like to look beyond cultural backgrounds and that, but you still will be a flag waver for the Indian community. How big is that voting bloc in eThekwini? What percentage?
It is a massive bloc. It's huge. It's hundreds of thousands of people. The problem that we've had here in eThekwini for a long time, Alec, is the high levels of apathy amongst the Indian community, which is understandable because people are just giving up hope. And so of the total voting population, our estimates are that only half of that population was registered to vote. So that's an area of focus that we need to put a lot of effort and energy and resources into. And of the half that's actually registered, only half of them actually turn out to vote. So that's also an area of focus that we're going to put lots of energy and attention onto. So we have to go where the easiest, opportunities exist for us. And we'll be making investments in those areas and putting lots of effort and energy and plans and programs in those areas. And we've started that program already. I mean, we already rolled it out now for months on end. So that is definitely an area that we will be putting a lot of effort into. But we're not going to be able to win it with that alone. although it will help us to get very close to the 50%, if we can mobilize every single forward-thinking Indian person in my community to come out and vote, we still need much more than that. And that's why we need to attract new voters, people who have not voted for us before. But the best way to activate them is to be able to educate them about what the state of the city is and why we are in this space. And so that is going to form a big part of our campaign.
Hanif Hussain is the DA's mayoral candidate for eThekwini. From where I'm sitting, I don't think that the cultural bias is that strong with the younger people. They are more educated. They do kind of get it. They get it that we are human beings with maybe different levels of melanin and coming, as Hanif said earlier, different. We pray to the same God, but we might pray in a different way. That doesn't really, that we're more closer together than further apart. I was reminded by a good friend after the passing of Jane Goodall that we have 98.8% similar DNA to chimpanzees, for heaven's sake. Think about how close we are as human beings. Let's see how things go forward. Let's see if South Africans can once again step up. And let's see if Hanif Hussain can become the next executive mayor of eThekwini. He certainly has laid down a very bold plan today. He's going to root out corruption. And my goodness, can there be a stronger campaign promise than that? I'm Alec Hogg. BizNews.com.